As some of you got to see, it's like, oh, I got stuck. How would I do this? How would I do that? You can't do that when you're on the street, you know? When someone's, you know, over your house, or, you know, when you're in a real gospel conversation, you can't just stop and say, oh, how could I word this better? That's why the role play does help. Because you could kind of just stop. And like I went around to a couple of the groups and people were like, how would I answer this? So you could do that when we're doing role play. All right? So any questions that anyone has? And we're gonna have another time of Q&A tomorrow. But any questions with anything that we shared so far? Any thoughts? Correct. It's right. That smooth flow and being able to do that switch from the natural to the spiritual. Because if you're comfortable, if you practice that swing enough, then you just let the conversation go. You know, wherever it goes. I mean, look, how many guys here like sports? Okay. Can you talk sports with like any other guy that talks sports? Right? I mean, you have something in common, you find something in common, you share about it because you know something about it, right? So that you start that way, and then you just got to swing to, you know, you could just ask people what they do for a living, and then they'll tell you. You could just ask questions about what they do, try to understand it, you know, and then you just practice just that swing to, you know, you just keep asking until you figure out how to swing, right? Now, if you're going to be like, okay, I said the spiritual transition game. I'll tell you how Ray Comfort plays this game with me, which is why I don't play with him. You gave me a digital watch. This is how Ray would do it. Speaking of a digital watch, do you consider yourself to be a good person? That's Ray's way of doing it, but he gets away with it. Yeah. So any other questions or thoughts? Yeah, it's a really important point. That's the reason I say it's an outline and not a like something I wrote, right? Let the conversation go wherever it goes. Someone was doing the good person test, got stuck on, okay, after I share the, you know, I go through some of the Ten Commandments, what do I do when I just don't know where to go with one? So I'd end up doing the role play, and it was like, went into one, and it couldn't really get the person to agree. Okay, let's move to another one. You know, and that's what we can do. We, you know, remember, this is a conversation, so it's not, I have a plan, I got to get to this. If we use it as an outline, we let the conversation flow naturally, because if it flows naturally, right, I said we want to be genuine. So we want to really be concerned about them. It's not that we're like, okay, hey, I got to check off that I shared the gospel today, right? It's really realize where this person is going if they were to die right now. And that's what should compel us to say, you know what, there's a need this person has to hear this message. You know, so just...
Mm-hmm. And that was actually a huge burden relieved, at least for me.
Yeah.
And so what I started doing from that point was just, okay, I'm going to start conversations. So step one, just start conversations with people and then see where they go and try, you know. And,
yeah.
Because if I feel like, man, I got to get the whole gospel message out, the good person test, like everything, like it feels so overwhelming. But if it's like, okay, well, I'm just in line in the office for a Coke. What do you do for a living?
Yeah. Yeah, and it helps you to get used to just starting a conversation with a random person, right? I mean, I try to do that more comfortable doing that as well. Yeah, I mean, like, so Greg and I would go to lunch or dinner. Greg has a habit that he'll always want to get a waiter or waitress's name, right? And this is where the difference with Greg and I, like, I'm more purposeful that I want to try to get to the gospel if I can. So where Greg likes to just get the name of a waiter or waitress, so he just building rapport, relationship, where what I do a lot of times is when I'll ask for their name, but then I say, hey, we're Christians, we're going to pray for a meal. I want to pray specifically for you. And it's amazing how often I get waiters and waitresses that start opening up. And now they've opened a way for me to share the gospel, right? And so that's like, it just opens up, because and I am going to pray for them. Now, granted, we did have once, this last time in Indy, we had a guy who was transitioning to be a girl, and he asked for prayer for his transition in life. We prayed for the transition to the gospel. Yeah, we prayed, Lord, that you transition him to from an enemy of God to a child of God. We prayed for his transition. You know, but yeah, I mean.
Part of it too is I think, and I don't remember if it was that same thing that you listen to, but we don't save nobody.
Correct.
God does that.
Mm-hmm.
And so our job is not, you know, our heart should be to share the gospel.
Yeah. I remember. I was in the UK during the Olympics, and we had a team of people that were evangelizing, and I had one guy who was of a different theological persuasion than me. My persuasion would be God is sovereign, and God bless you, and I would share the gospel, and if they rejected, I just move on to the next person. But this one guy, he was not. Like, he was convinced he has to convince everyone into the kingdom, and I watched this couple, I mean, they were trying to get away from him, and he's chasing them down over this way, and they're turning this way, and he's chasing them this way, and he's like, they couldn't get away from the guy, and I eventually had to like stop. They were walking away, and I went like this, and I stopped, and they like, let them go. No, but I got to convince him. You're having a negative effect. Like, when I had a gospel tract, you know what? I'm typically more polite to people that reject the gospel tract from me. If they don't take my track, I'll be like, I hope you have a nice day. I make sure to say something positive, because I want they're already associating me with the gospel track, right? So I want to leave something that's positive, right? So I'm actually more polite to the person that rejects it. I had once, we were in a restaurant, and I go to my seat, and I'm handing out tracks at all tables. There's a guy that was seated right behind me, and so I handed him a gospel track. He's sitting by himself. I said, he's like, what's this? I said, well, it's a gospel tract. It has the good news of Jesus Christ. And he throws, I don't want this trash. Now, do I know what offended him? No idea. So I quickly grabbed my waitress and I said, listen, you see this guy behind me? I need to his waiter. I need his bill. I got to pay his bill. And so I paid the bill. I said, just tell the other waiter that a Christian was in here and wanted to bless him today. Right? And so I can hear the conversation with him and the waiter. Waiter goes, your bill was paid, sir. Who paid my bill? I actually don't know. Just one of the other, you know, waitresses said that there was a Christian in this restaurant that just wanted to bless you today and paid your bill. He's like, well, I need you. I got to leave you a tip. It's like, I got a pretty good tip because I left him a good tip. But, I turned to one of the ladies that worked for our ministry. I said, Melissa, what's he doing? She goes, he just picked up the gospel tract. He's reading it. Guess what? He left with it. Is that worth paying for a meal? Yeah. Because I don't know what he has heard from Christians that he hears gospel and is offended at it.
Well, it could be right? A guy that chased him around.
Could be a guy that chased him around. It could be.
And I've seen that.
Yeah.
I've seen that on job sites.
I've done that when at times.
I've seen where people just beat guys down, you know, and then they don't want to hear nothing more.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes it.
Yeah. That's why I love, I went out with one guy, and I said to him, man, this guy, he smiled. Like, when he gave a gospel tract out, he was smiling. Like, he's just so approachable. He's like, you know, you wanted to take the gospel tract, because he just, you know, he had just this demeanor that was appealing. And I was like, I got to start trying to do that. I just don't have a natural smile. I have a natural frown. Did you have a hand up there?
Kind of when you were in line for a Christian concert, it was Winter Jam,
Well,
some people need that.
Yeah, some people do. So,
but you're yelling at people through a megaphone.
Well, yeah. There's a lot of people we call screechers. Yeah. There's a bunch of people who go out that are act as if they're the Holy Spirit and they're going to convict everyone of sin. You see some arrogance out there on the street that do that. I mean, the reason you raise your voice is to be heard, right? Using a megaphone one night, you don't have to yell because it's doing that for you. But like I said earlier, even when you're doing that, it's the way you conduct yourself. Because this is the whole reason we teach what we teach. You're an ambassador for Christ. So it's not just what you say, but how you say it. Right? And so could someone say something that's though biblical, but do it in a way where the person just totally rejects it? Yeah. Could that be exactly what they need? I mean, I knew a young lady, her brother was sharing the gospel with her. She was rejecting it. And she went to a Black Sabbath concert, and they put a cross upside down. And seeing an upside down cross offended her so much, she walked out of the concert. She went to wait for her friends on the curb. And sitting on the curb, she prayed to receive Christ. Now, does that mean we should all go to Black Sabbath concerts? No. Okay? But God can use anything, right? So there are times where, I mean, look, for me, God used the guy that said the one thing that was a dangerous thing to say to me, talk about my mother, right? So sometimes, you know, I mean, my buddy Chad, I told that story. Chad said something that was out of character for Chad, and I would never encourage people to turn to someone and say, no gospel for you. But guess what? That's what God used to humble that guy's heart. You know? Sometimes we don't know. I mean, I had one time in the mall, I had this woman that was sitting there and she was just, I'm not worried about it, you know, I have no concern about death, da, 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 da. And I literally just started going, I started snapping my finger, I went 2, 4, 6 people just died, 8, 10, 12 people just died. I just kept doing this, right? And she got so upset, she walked away. Came back 20 minutes later. She goes, I'm going to die one day. What's going to happen to me? You know, do I encourage everyone to do something like that? No. But it was just something I was like, you know, I tried it. Now, I've tried that with other people and had no effect. So, any other questions? Time for one more.
For fun. I was going to ask you this later, but I guess I'll do it now. In the workplace, we had that conversation about using work time, not a good gospel representation there.
Yeah.
Your boss's time. But tracks in the workplace, do you find those effective, not so much? Appropriate, not so much?
Yeah, I mean, you it depends on the workplace, depends on where you work and how it's set up. If you work, you know, I used to work in a workplace where people would leave, they'd leave books out, they would, you know, so I used to put gospel books, you know, it's like a place where anyone could, I'd leave tracts there because that, you know, other people would do that as well. You know, people would leave pamphlets on breast cancer. Well, I'd leave pamphlets on the gospel, right? And it is always kind of funny because I remember someone putting a note that said, you know, it's inappropriate. And I just responded in the note, so then is it inappropriate for the breast cancer? I mean, because you think it's inappropriate, if I say the other's inappropriate, you're going to stop kind of thing? And, you know, so I guess it could depend on the, you know, because some employers may have some rules against that, so you'd have to see. But I do say at workplace, I don't advise sharing the gospel on work time or on work sites. What we were talking about was take someone out to lunch. If you're buying lunch for them to share, you say, hey, I want to take you to lunch because I have something I just want to share with you that really affected my life. Now they know you're buying lunch. People let you say whatever you want when you're buying lunch, okay? You know, your idea of saying have people over for dinner after work, and that way their whole family comes over. That's a great idea, you know? And we were talking with a bunch of guys in my old church. What we used to do is every Saturday we played paintball. Because we had a field, and we had extra markers. And, you know, we would just go, because we went regularly, it was a place we can always invite people we worked with on Saturdays. And what we would do is we'd go play a game for 30 minutes, and then we'd tinker with the markers for 20 minutes while other guys are sharing the gospel. And we always had something we had to tinker with, you know. It always took like 20 minutes. but we would do that every week, and that became a way to evangelize where we can invite people from work. And we'd regularly have unbelievers there, you know, and it'd be maybe three or four unbelievers with, you know, a dozen Christians. So, you know, you could think of things like that. And, yeah. All right, so some of the books there, I have some of the stuff that's free for you on the table is, any of you listen to podcasts? We have the Christian Podcast Community, a couple heretics that you guys know of, this guy, Jim Osman from Kootenai, Justin Peters, but we have over 50 vetted podcasts. We're very hard. We only accept about 30%, 40% of the people that apply. So we reject far more than we accept. There's some for everyone. We have podcasts for women, podcasts on apologetics, sermons, you know, homeschooling. So you'll find something there that you know will help you in your Christian walk. So Christian Podcast Community. My two that I do are The Rap Report and Apologetics Live. You know, if you're around on Thursday evenings, Apologetics Live is great to, you know, if you just either watch, but if you do have any questions, it's a great place to just, you know, this I stole from Greg Kokel, but my office hours are Thursday nights, 8 to 10 Eastern time. So he would always get his radio time that he's on the radio. So that's his office hours. But, and if you want, you know, if you guys do ever want to be a supporter of ours, it's, you know, the way we get around the world and go to churches and that can't afford it is by our monthly donors. We're going, Justin Peters and I are going to the Philippines in April. We have no idea how it's getting paid yet. And that's the way we do it. Okay, we don't have a fee, even if we're going to somewhere like the Philippines where, you know, it's like $2,000 for a ticket. But we just trust the Lord and, you know. So if you're interested in helping us out, that'd be good. And if you're interested in any of the books or stuff there, these are real good. If you want, there's some of the classes on here, and Yim could explain some of it, but there's also syllabuses that you can look at that we have that go along with the classes that are on here. If you don't want these, the classes are available on YouTube as long as YouTube lets us have it. So, all right. So let's close in a word of prayer. Lord, we are... If we're going to be honest, a fearful people, we fear men, even though we know we shouldn't. We know we can read your word and know that we could be as bold as lions because you are the ultimate authority. You're sovereign. You're in control. But yet we're fickle and we're weak, and we just come to you, Lord, and ask that you'd give us a boldness. Get us out of our comfort zone. Lord, we can sit and complain about this culture, but we can also do something. And we ask that we would be a people that would be a light to this community, that we would share the gospel with those we come in contact with. Lord, help us to fulfill the Great Commission in making disciples as we go about our day, and that this church would be known in this community for the truth of your word. That if it be your will, we'd see it grow in numbers, but more importantly, spiritually. That people would grow in their faith, loving you more, loving one another more, and living out what your word says. We thank you for all that you do. Enable us to strive to make today an eternal day for your glory. Amen.